You're listening to Green Left Radio on 3CR 855 AM, and we're very happy to be joined by Damoon Jehani from the Kurdish Iranian community based in Naam, Melbourne. And of course, Damoon's actually been a previous guest on our program as well, and you know, has been a very active activist in solidarity with the Kurdish struggle and the Iranian community, especially in terms of the mass protests that that happened last year in Iran. So yeah, good morning, Damoon.
Good morning, Jacob. Nice to be back again as well.
Yeah, it's great to have you back. And I guess what we thought would have you join us, I guess, for our discussion a bit, because I think you've been following some of the politics, I guess, in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. And yep. I guess we've obviously seen this explosion of Palestinian activism in the global north. But I guess one of the things that's actually quite interesting note is, I guess, how has politics in the Middle Eastern region been shaped by the events in Palestine? And just to kind of add one extra comment is, before October 7, and the genocide in Palestine that's currently taking place, there was actually, I guess, a trend of a lot of the kind of Middle Eastern kind of states normalizing relations yep. with Israel. And I guess I want to kind of hear a bit of some of your comments, I guess, along those of responding to that actually as well, but also how these events have been shaping politics in the Middle East.
Yeah, for sure. Well, just like you said, Jacob, there has been some rapprochement with Israel from a lot of these Middle Eastern countries. Starting with Egypt decades ago till, even countries like Saudi Arabia and stuff. And, we have Turkey that is a country that pays lip service under Erdogan to the Palestinian cause, but continues to maintain to be one of Israel's closest trading partners and for military stuff as well. So there has been a rapprochement with Israel. And when October 7th kicked off again, and the brutal response we saw by Israel and Gaza, and even in the West Bank, the explosion of protests, we've been to protests together in Melbourne, we've seen thousands of people here, but even in the Middle East, in countries like Turkey, in countries like Saudi Arabia, it has forced a lot of these governments to reconsider their position with Israel. All of a sudden, this capitalist tendency that Israel provided certain economic benefits to them and being trading partners and normalizing relations with them was being met with the religious factor of the conflict, but also what their own constituents, what their own people demand, right? So it's caused a giant shift in that. Whether it will bear something fruitful in the long term, whether it won't just be temporary and after a year of a reapproach of Israel, who knows? But at least we're seeing some action being taken and a reversal of its reapproachment in order to demand further Palestinian rights.
And I guess I want to kind of, you mentioned, I guess, some of the kind of mass protests, and I guess where have some of the protests in the Middle East for Palestine been quite prevalent? And I guess what has been kind of the position of some of the governments in response to the protests? Because I have heard of some repression of some of these protests by these states, even if in a lot of ways they actually symbolically support and profess support for Palestine.
Yeah. Well, no, I remember seeing images, for instance, from Egypt as well, where you had these massive protests, but small sort of little clashes with police at certain points too. It's the countries that we've seen that have historically had more anti-Israel rhetoric, such as Qatar or Iran, that have been a lot more open and, open to the protests and so forth. But some other countries where it gets a bit more skeptical with the relations, which, can be Turkey at times and Egypt and so forth, we have seen a bit of wish-washing, I think, with this as well.
Yeah, and I guess that goes into kind of the next question. I want to kind of hear a bit more comments about Iran, because I think Iran is possibly, what you've been following the, probably the most, but also probably represents as this central contradiction the most. But, you know, what are your comments, I guess, on how countries such as Iran have, in a sense, they profess support for Palestine, but, of course, they've also used it as a very much as cover for their repression domestically, to the point where there's a bit of a contradictory response, because I actually looked a bit of a report. You know, there was a Palestine protest in Palestine solidarity sort of protest in Iran, but of course there's also, you know, a counter protester, possibly also clearly opposed to the Iranian regime, who also did a pro-Israel counter protest that was sort of a bit of like a counter protest. So yeah, what are some of those dynamics that occurring in Iran?
Yeah, I'll tell you something, Jacob. It is a very strange time to be pro-Palestinian in the Iranian diaspora. So with the Islamic regime themselves, I mean, it was only months ago that they were literally murdering children in the street, people as young as 11, like Kian. And as we know, Mahsa Amini, or Gina Amini as well. And so I've got a friend now in Iran. He goes to university there. He says he can't even enter his university without stepping on an Israeli flag. Like, they've just plastered the flag all over the ground. And the Islamic regime constantly, on a day-to-day basis, talks about Palestine, talks about liberating Palestine, talks about the Zionist apartheid regime, the occupiers. But this really falls on deaf ears to a lot of people in Iran when that same government murders them, when that same government months ago was killing them out in the open streets. So when this conflict did first start, we did see some footages from Iran where people chanted, my life neither for Palestine or Yemen, only for Iran. And there was some chants that did seem a bit more anti-Palestinian as well. But the content of his chants, they're not meant to be like, we're against Palestine. It's more so that we're against the government constantly talking about Palestine while they continue to murder and kill us. And something fascinating I actually saw was a week ago, there's this great Instagram page called Kiana Tribute that take pictures of graffiti around Iran. And it had a collection of 6 or 7 different graffiti designs that have just exploded inside Iran. And it's been slogans like Palestinians and Iranians both facing oppression. Palestinians by Israel, of course, and Iran by the Islamic regime. But even in these difficult times, we have seen a discourse come up that have recognized both the Palestinians and the Iranians facing repression, regardless of the government's supposed support for the Palestinians. In diaspora, this has played out differently. We've seen a lot of the pro-Zionist protests is seen in conjunction with monarchists being held all around the world. It's a very strange time to be pro-Palestinian for us.
Yeah, hi Damoon, I'm Rob Zocchi, and even just in this short interview I've learned quite a lot about stuff in Iran with regards to Palestine. I did have a question for you though. Can you, because you've obviously been following this really closely, can you give some examples of any concrete solidarity actions between Iranians and Palestinians? And I'm particularly interested in working class action and working class unity of Iranian workers and Palestinian workers. Do you know anything about that sort of stuff?
Within Iran, we haven't heard too much. There has definitely been instances of solidarity. So, for instance, the Nobel Peace Prize winner, Nargis Mohammadi, who's currently in prison in Iran, she actually put out quite a few pro-Palestinian statements recently, and even one calling for a ceasefire. And we have seen statements of ceasefire being echoed by a lot of workers' unions and so forth as well. But workers' unions in Iran are now in a very strange time that they've sort of gone back into hiding. A lot of the big ones as well, because of the repression that they've just faced the past few months. So they haven't been too active publicly, just in general, other than the pro-government ones, which, you know, will just issue the state government lines. The radical ones like Haftar and stuff have sort of sitting back a bit. At least I haven't seen sort of any statements from them recently.
Hmm. And I guess I want to go going to a bit of a kind of last question, and there'll be some room for some final comments later. One, I guess, in terms of this discussion, where we're kind of talking about, you know, the how Middle Eastern politics has been shaped by the kind of events of October. The other kind of point I think we can't sort of forget about, I guess, is the important elephant in the room, which is the role of US and Western kind of imperialism. And there's actually, you know, there's been a comment being thrown around by Joe Biden, which, you know, he said in the 80s, which is if there wasn't an Israel, the US would sort of have to invent it. And of course, I want to kind of hear your comments about, you know, the actual role that the United States plays in the Middle Eastern region, and especially kind of how it's actually divided the region. Because one comment I'll just make is, like, one of the kind of contradictory sort of illusions that I sort of notice, you know, amongst some people who, you know, obviously are sincerely sort of supporting the uprising in Iran, is sometimes there can be a bit of this sort of illusion in actual, you know, US sort of liberal democracy, etc., when actually in a lot of ways the US is directly responsible for, you know, why these countries in the Middle East are actually ruled by authoritarian sort of regimes. It's not because they're ruled by so-called backwards Middle Eastern Arabs.
No, that's 100% right, Jacob. That last statement, I couldn't agree more with you. Like, we saw the decades of sort of imperialism played out by America and the USSR, and now Russia was just building up and funding and supporting authoritarian regimes and these mindless proxy wars. And, I mean, America's in that weird place where it does have relations to countries like Saudi Arabia, but it is, or maybe was, quite close to, but at the same time, yes, there is Israel, sort of like a thorn in the Middle East, where the military-industrial complex of the United States grinds its gears, and that sort of remains a bulwark against Russia, against, and more importantly, the Islamic regime of Iran, against Syria, Bashar Assad. And so this plays into that as well. And it's been horrible. Like, you know, we finally got Australia to vote for a ceasefire, which for me is unbelievable to think that would actually happen. And to see the video clip from a few days ago, the UN, where America's the only one holding up its hand to vote against something like that. Well, that's a consequence of this sort of foreign policy where one country, this one of the great powers of this world, has just at its hands the disposal to prevent any sort of ceasefire just for its geopolitical interests. Well, that's one of the poisons of capitalism. That's one of its unfortunate consequences. And, you know, a lot of anti-imperialists will say, well, look, Iran and stuff need to be there in order to fight against the United States. But then that's also the other way of that. That also goes into the other direction. It's still the same thing. It's still imperialism as well. So, yeah, that's just our little difficult world, I guess.
Rob, did you have a question to sort of ask? I think this has been a very good interview, kind of, Damoon, and we're going to actually finish up by playing some Middle Eastern music. But do you have any final comments that you'd like to make?
Just that it's important to be intersectional, that we can be against the Islamic regime of Iran, that we can be against America, we can be against, for instance, Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Our oppressors are all around the world, and we've got to fight them equally as well.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Damoon. And I think, yeah, this has been a kind of very important discussion. And, I think I just want to also make a plug that I think everyone needs to attend the Palestine protest that's happening this Sunday at 12 p.m. at the State Library.